Okay, Shkoyach again. Johnny, Shkoyach for putting everything together. Evan, welcome back. Tonight's year is being sponsored by Joseph Skydell in memory of Dr. Mark Fader's mother. Her name is Masha.
Shango
Masha Basar Bavram, whose yard site is today. May the Neshama have an Aliyah and our learning Bigla Iwi Nishmasa. We were discussing on the bottom of Amud Vav Beis the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who told us two statements which seemed to be overlapping. One was that any dish that has from Chameshes Haminim, one of the five Mine Dagan, wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt, one has to make a Bar Mine Mizonis. But then they also told us, Kol Shehume Chameshes Haminim, Mavarchim Bar Mine Mizonis. Anything that is of one of these five grains primarily gets Bar Mine Mizonis. So if it has one of the five grains within the mixture, even if it's not the majority, or it's not even, you know, the primary intention, whatever mixture finds itself, it's the universal ikar. We always are focused on that which is the chameshes minei dagan. Even if it's just an ingredient, it warrants the bracha bar minei mezonos. Certainly, if it's made primarily of those items, it would be bar minei mezonos. Why would they have that second statement? So the Gemara on the top of Lama Zayin with Aleph tells us that it's to exclude oriz v'doichen. Maybe eight or nine lines down, the first words on the line are v'oriz v'doichen. It's coming to exclude oriz v'doichen, rice and millet. That rice and millet do not get a bracha bar minei mezonos. The five minei dagan do. Oriz v'doichen, rice and millet are shahak on the abedvaro. So the Gemara questions that teaching of Rav and Shmuel. Oriz v'doichen lo mevarchen bar minei mezonos. Is that true? Rice and millet, you don't make a bar minei mezonos. V'tanya heviu l'fan of pas oriz u'pas doichen. If you brought before him bread of rice or bread of millet, you make a bracha at the beginning of the end. Kimaisa kedera, like a cooked dish that contains one of the chameshes minei dagan. Kimaisa kedera is going to be very important in a minute. Is a cooked dish that has one of the chameshes minei dagan. An example of that was we had on the last daf was a chavetz kedera or daisa, which was a kind of a wheatina, farina, that kind of a wheat dish where the grain is cooked. So kamaisa kedera. So just like a maisa kedera, but gabi maisa kedera tanya. By maisa kedera, we learn that's a wheat dish or a grain dish. We learned in a brisa. B'tchilo mevarach alav bar minei mezonos. At the beginning, you make bar minei mezonos. U'besoif mevarach alav bracha achas mei cholosh. At the end, you make an ala michya. So the Gemara says, oh, so it's the same as maisa kedera. Maisa kedera is bar minei mezonos and ala michya. So too, oriz v'doichen should be the same. So the Gemara says, no, kim maisa kedera v'loy kim maisa kedera. It's like maisa kedera, but it's not the same as maisa kedera. Kim maisa kedera, it has one similarity, the mevarach and olav tchil v'saif. You make a bracha at the beginning of the end. V'loy kim maisa kedera, but it's not like maisa kedera, d'yigu, but maisa kedera b'tchila, bori m'nei mezonis. Maisa kedera at the beginning is bori m'nei mezonis, so b'saif bracha achas mei inshalosh, at the end is alamichya. Ilu haka, but by oriz v'doichen, by rice and millet, b'tchila mevarach olav shakol n'yeh b'dvar, at the beginning is shahakol, b'saif bori nefashos, rabbis v'chesronan, akal ma shabara. So oriz v'doichen, this, you know, we're trying to support the statement of Rav and Shmuel that Erez and Doichen is Shehakon Yabedvaro and be a Bari Nefoshes, and not the same as Chameshes Minei Dagan, which would be Bari Minei Mezonos and Ala Michya. It's interesting, over here the Gemara says that the Bracha Achreina for rice and millet would be Bari Nefoshes. You look later on, and we'll get to this, but eight or nine lines up from the bottom, the first word on the line is V'hatanya. The Gemara quotes another Brisa that agrees that after rice and millet, you don't make an alamichya, but there the Brisa says, V'hatanya gubesoif v'loy klum. You don't make anything. What is v'loy klum? So look in Rashi, eight lines up from the bottom. Rashi says v'loy klum. What that means is you make bar nefashos. Bar nefashos is called v'loy klum. Why is bar nefashos called v'loy klum? Bar nefashos is a bracha achreinu like main sholosh. Why is it called v'loy klum? You don't make anything. You don't make anything. Why the description v'loy klum? So Rashi here says v'loy klum means because you don't mention the food that you ate. Benching alamichya certainly, you mention the food that you ate, right? Ala oritz v'al peiros, ala oritz v'al, you know, ala gofen, ala oritz v'al michya v'al kalkola. You mention what you ate. Here you don't mention what you eat. You say the bracha of bar nefashos is v'al komasha barasa. Bar nefashos rabbis v'chesrein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with the things that we need. And the things Tosfos writes at the top of here, Lam Zayim and Aleph, that the things that we need refer to lechem and mayim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created bari nefashos rabbos viches reinam, the things that we need. Sheyav shar b'lohim, we can't survive without them. Val komasha baruch chayos behem, and then even those things, you know, that we don't need, like kloima al komasha ba'olam shegamim lo bar mi'chom ha'olam lichyos, meaning even things that we eat just for our own enjoyment, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created those too. But it doesn't mention what they are. So that's why, since it doesn't mention what they are, so that's why the Brisa referred to it as v'loy klum. Maybe it pales in comparison to alamichya. Alamichya, you mentioned exactly what you ate. Over here, you don't really mention anything that you ate, so it's kind of referred to as v'loy klum. The Vilna Goyin has a different pshat, though. The Vilna Goyin, in his commentary on Maseches Brachos called Imrei Noyam, explains based on the Gemara later on, Amandal Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, Amandal Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Amandal Amid Beis, Machlekes, when do you make burn nefashos? One opinion in the Gemara Mendado Mebeis is that you make bar nefashis on the first line. Mendado Mebeis, Amar Biyisak Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabenu Al Habay of Al Mine Kufra. Bitchil Mavar Shakol. At the beginning, you make Shahakol. That's eggs and meat. You make Shahakol. Besoif bar nefashis. The only time you make bar nefashis is eggs and meat. Nothing else. Aval Yarka Loi. Vegetables, no. Rabbi Yisak says Afilu Yarka. Amar Yarka. Afilu Yarka. Aval Maya Lo, not water. Papa Amar Afilu Maya. So it came in like stages. First it was eggs and meat, then vegetables, then we included water. So the Vilna Goyin explains or suggests that it wasn't actually three opinions over here, it was three stages of development within the Amoraim. This bracha, Bar Nefashos, evolved. At the beginning, it was only established or instituted for eggs and meat. Why eggs and meat? That's a protein, a little bit more substantial. So eggs and meat got a Bar Nefashos. Then they expanded it even to Yerukas. Then they finally expanded it even to Mayim. So the Vilna Goyin suggests that over here, when the Gemara said, when the Braisa said, that you make a Bar Nefashos or refer to a Bar Nefashos as V'loy Klum, is because in those days they actually didn't make anything. In the time of the Braisa, it was actually Loy Klum. They didn't make anything. Today, Rashi answered, we would make a Bar Nefashos. But that's because Bar Nefashos was expanded in later generations. And the early generations didn't apply to these kinds of items, or to Eres and Deichen. It only applies to starch. It only applied to proteins, like egg and meat. Then, later on, they expanded it to other items. So, and sometimes it's referred to as V'loy Klum. Sometimes it's referred to by its name as Bar Nefashos, huh?
First stage, no bracha at all?
No bracha at all. No bracha at all. Oh, no. It sounds like it was always eggs and meat, but not on other things. And then the eggs and meat was the first stage, and then later on, I don't know. Yeah. It sounds like it evolved after that. Tysus over here has the...
Huh? People don't make bone fish in water.
It was in Machlekes in the Gemara. We passing it to do. So I don't know. There are traces that at the beginning, as the Goyin suggests, it was only initially on those more substantial items. Our Gemara here doesn't have a chasima barchei oylamim. Tosfos at the top, Tosfos lam zayim adalf brings a chasima. Tosfos says v'chay umesayim barchei oylamim. Ubi Yushalmi barchato Hashem chay oylamim. The Yushalmi actually has a shame in the chasima bar nefashos. We don't have a chasima with a shame. So we make the chasima without a shem because it's a machleg hagir sos. According to the Bavli, it's a chasima without a shem. According to the Yushalmi, it's a chasima with a shem. The Rosh over here, though, Rabbeinu Yoyin and Masechtas Brachos disagree with Tosfos, and their opinion is the Bavli never had a chasima at all. Tosfos presents it as if the Bavli had a chasima without a shem. The Yushalmi is a chasima with a shem. We're not sure what to do mitoch hasafik, so we do it without a shem. The Rosh Rabbeinu Yoyin argue the Bavli never had any chasima. The Yushalmi has a chasima with a shem. So a compromise was to do a chasima without a shem. But the Bavli had no chasima at all, no ending at all. There was no, it ended. How would it end? It would have ended. That would have been it. The Yushalmi says Baruch Hashem Chei Olamim. So we do a pshar. We say Baruch Chei Olamim without the shame. But that was a kind of a pshara. What's the difference? According to Tosfos, the Bavli had a shame, a chasima without a shame. The Yushalmi has it with a shame. According to the Rosh Rabbeinu Yoina, the Bavli didn't have a chasima at all. What's the difference? So Moshe in the Tshuva Negros Moshe quotes the name of his son of Reb David. That Rav David says he thinks it's an afkamina lamaisa between Tosfos and the Rosh. Did the Bavli have a chasima just without a shame? Or did the Bavli have no chasima at all? Which is, when do you answer amen to a person who's saying bar nefashos? According to the Bavli, you would have answered amen after l'achayos b'am nefesh kochai. According to Yushalmi, you would answer amen at the end of the bracha, which is baruch Hashem chay olamim. Now we do a pshara, we do a compromise, we say baruch chay olamim without the shame in order to count for both. But, says Rav Moshe, now you're going to get stuck in a quandary when to say Amen. Because, according to the Bavli, we should say right after L'chachis B'nefesh Kochai. You cannot wait till after Baruch Hei Olamim to say Amen, just to be chayshish for the Yushalmi, because if you wait three words, the time it takes to say three words after the conclusion of a bracha, you can't answer Amen any longer. That's not Toich Kedei Dibor. Toich Kedei Dibor means the time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. That's all considered to be one moment in time. Once that moment passes, You know, the time that it takes to say those three words, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, you can't answer Amen any longer. If you answer Amen at that point, it will be an Amen Yisoyma. An Amen that's too late. Sometimes Bar Mitzvah boys get this problem. They're trained to say Amen before they begin laning, so the guy finishes the bracha, it takes them a few seconds to find the place, and they go, Amen, you know. So that's an Amen Yisoyma. It's okay, but it's wrong, really. You're really supposed to say Amen right after the bracha. So it's over here, if you're going to wait till after Baruch Chei Ha'ilamim, the same as Shalom Alecha Rebbe, it'll be too late to say an Amen. So Moshe claims you have to say Amen after Wahachayos Bahem Nefesh Kochai, because really we're passing like the Bavli, that there is no Chasim at all. Well, Chayshish Vidu Shami, so we say Baruch Ha'olamim, but the Amen would come before that. It's an interesting, a similar situation arises with regards to Moedim Derabanan. Of course, most of the brachas of Shemana Esrei, Chazara Sashas, you just answer Amen. There were times when people didn't know how to daven for themselves, so they would be yotz with this Shliach Tzibur. However, the one exception to the rule of Chazaras HaShash, just answering Amen, is Moedim, of course. Moedim, everybody has to say their own Moedim. And the Avud Raham has a famous explanation why everyone has to say their own Moedim, because when it comes to giving thanks, you can't be yoytze with some sort of Shamei Ka'ina. You can't have a Chap. You can't have a Kuntz to get out of Hakaras HaToiv. Hakaras HaToiv requires not just saying Amen. Hakaras HaToiv requires everybody express it on their own. There are no Chaps. There is no shortcuts. When it comes to Hakaras HaToiv, a very powerful message of the Avud Raham. Huh? We all say Hala on our own. Oh, at a time when you couldn't say Hala. I don't know if that's a Hakaras HaToiv. Moedim is a kind of a personal Hakaras HaToiv. Yeah. So Hakaras HaToiv. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it was Karin Aniyah. Yehoidu Hashem Kitab. Huh?
It's a way for...
Yeah, responsive. That's my pshat. I have a pshat. You could take it or leave it. It's my own explanation. But the Gemara says, Mesechtes Menachos, on the Pasuk and Parashas Sav, Zois Toiras HaChatos. The Gemara says, whoever was Chayav Chatos and not able to bring a Chatos today because the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, so what can he do? He could be learn the Torah of Chatos, because Koha Oisik B'Toras Chatos, Ki'u Hikrav Chatos. Anybody who learns the Torah of the Chatos is considered as if he brought the Chatos. Koha Oisik B'Toras Oila, Ki'u Hikrav Oila. The Torah considers as if you brought an Oila. Why? Because I want to bring the Chatos, I want to bring the Oila, I'm just not able to. There's no Beis HaMikdash. So if I learn the Torah of the Chatos, I learn the Torah of the Oila, and I'm prevented from doing so because of an Oinus, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, whoever wants to do a mitzvah sincerely and is prevented doing so because of some external circumstance preventing me from doing it, so Malav HaKosef, Kilu Asol, the Torah considers it as if you did it. You get reward. So who Kola Oisik with Oras Chatos, Ki'u Hikriv Chatos. There's one exception to that rule, though, and that is when a person is chayav a carbon toida. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos later on in Dafn and Dalad, there are bo tzrichim lahoidas. There are four people who have to bench goymo. Who are the four people who have to bench goymo? Chavish beisa, assume a person who's trapped in jail. Chaylev in Israpa, a person who's sick and then is healed. Yardei hayam, a person who travels through the seas. And a hochay midbar, a person who traverses a midbar. The tour has his famous Rashi Tevis. That's v'chol hachayim. Yadu chasela, chayim is a Rashi Tevis, chavish beisa asurim. Yisurim, a person who's sick, Yisurim, he suffered, Yam, and Midbar. Ho HaChayim Yadu Chasela. Those four people have to bench Goymo. Those are the same four people who at the time, Beis HaMikdash HaKayim, would bring a carbon taida. Those are the people who bring a carbon taida, the same four people. So I ask a question. It's a Balabatish question, but why not just learn the parish of carbon taida? Why did they establish a bracha of benching Goymo, HaGoyim L'Chayavim Toivos? Just learn the Torah of the carbon Torah, like we do by every other carbon that we're not able to bring. Learn the Torah of the Torah, and the Torah will consider it, because Baruch Hu considers if you did it. I think the answer is, because when it comes to these carbonas, or when it comes to expressing Karas HaToiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just an obligation that you have to do, it's HaKaras HaToiv. It's an expression of HaKaras HaToiv. When it comes to expression of HaKaras HaToiv, there's no, I wanted to, but I wasn't able to. There's no shortcuts. Amen, Shamei HaKa'ina, and all the lumdis. Is it as if I said it, or as if you said it? Whatever. That doesn't apply when it comes to carbon tithe. So it's true, we have a mechanism, we have a patent, that Kola Oisik, but Torah's carbon, Ki'u Hikriv, that carbon, that doesn't apply to carbon tithe. Carbon tithe, everybody's makriv on their own. If you can't, you have to establish a new bracha of benching Garmo. Fine. So everybody has to say their own Moedim. We refer to that Moedim during Chazaras HaShatz as Moedim Derabanan. Why is it called Moedim Derabanan? Is there a Moedim Deraisa? No, there's no Moedim Deraisa. Why is it called a Moedim Derabanan? It's called Moedim Derabanan because the Gemara Masechta Saita and Daf Ches has a big machlekes amirayim, five different opinions what the nusach of this Moedim is supposed to be. Until Rav Papa came, Rav Papa said, Nemrinhu Lekuhu. Just say them all. That was Rav Papa's philosophy in general. 10 times throughout Shas, Rav Papa says, Nemrinhu Lekuhu. Whenever there's a machlekes, Rav Papa says, just say them all. because Rav Papa was someone who made shalom amongst all Talmidei Chachamim. Usually people in a Beis Medrash are fighting tooth and nail. Rav Papa came and he said, everybody can get along. Nemrin hulakuhu. That's why the Siyum, Masechta, the only Amora that we mention is Rav Papa and his 10 sons. Why do we mention Rav Papa? Because Rav Papa was a guy who made shalom with everybody. Everybody, Nemrin hulakuhu, we'll just say all of them. Fine, so Rav Papa over here, one of them is Maidim Darabanan. We say all of them. So the Beis Yosef writes, since we say all the Nuschos of the five different Amorim, the opinions in the Gemara Masechta Sotah, we refer to it as Maidim Darabanan. What does it mean, Maidim Darabanan? Maidim by committee. This was not one Amora's Nusach of Maidim. This was Maidim that all the rabbis agreed to. Doesn't mean that there's a Maidim Dairaisa. It's Maidim Darabanan that everyone agreed to. So the Taz on Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yushalmi that in the, we don't have a Siyum of Baruch Kel Ha'idos. There's just end Al Shanachnu Maidim Loch. There's no Baruch Kel Ha'idos. The Yushalmi has a Nusach, Baruch Kel Ha'idos. Okay, so we add the Nusach of the Yushalmi, a sixth opinion of what Maidim is supposed to be, so we add the Yushalmi too. It's not in the Bavli though. It's not really in the Bavli. Okay, so it's like this Bar Nefashis. Bar Nefashis has no Siyum. The Yushalmi has a Siyum, so we add it. We ask to say, so to Maidim, really has no Siyum, and Maidim Darabanan, we add the Siyum from the Yushalmi, we ask to say, it's Baruch Kel Ha'idos. Why not? However, there's a interesting halachic nafkamina from the fact that this is like an addendum, but not really part of the Nusach of Maidim Rabbanan itself. Why? Because the Gemara earlier in Brachis and Daf Lamed Aleph Beis tells us you have to bow down by Maidim Tchilo V'Soif at the beginning and at the end. So a Yachid bows down at the beginning of Maidim and at the end of Maidim. You bow down at the beginning of Maidim by Maidim itself, and then Baruch Kel Ha'idos. You bow down by Hatov, right? The Baruch at the end of, So you bow down at the end.
Before Sim Shalom.
So you bow down at the end of Maidim, at the beginning of Maidim, and then right before Sim Shalom. So to the Shiach Tzibor. But everybody has to bow down by Maidim, Tchilo V'Soif. So the Rashba quotes in the name of the Ravid that even by Maidim Darabonon, you're supposed to bow down, Tchilo V'Soif, at the beginning and at the end. When do you bow down at the beginning? By Maidim. When are you going to bow down at the end? The Shulchan Aruch quotes that opinion of the Rashba. Shulchan Aruch quotes it as the Yeshayimim, and it sounds like the Ramah recommends you should do it. Aruch HaShulchan says the minig is not to bow down by the end of Maidim Darabanan. They quote like that from the Goyin. He didn't bow down by the end of Maidim Darabanan. Maybe even the Ariya Kodesh, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch to bow down, like the Rashba, what's the name of the Ravid, bow down at the end of Maidim Darabanan. When do you bow down at the end of Maidim Darabanan? By Baruch Kel Ha'idos? That's not the end. That's an addendum. That's like something we did only to make the people in the Yushalmi happy. Really, that's not what we passing as the end of Nusach Maidim Darabanan. The real end of the Nusach Maidim Darabanan is Al Shanachnu Maidim Loch. So that's why those who do this, who bow down by the end of Maidim Darabanan, don't bow down by Baruch Kel Ha'idos, they bow down by Maidim Anach Nuach. Same as Bar Nefashis. The bracha really ends before the Chasima. It's an addition.
So what's the point in adding after you marking the end?
I don't know. It's to make the Nusach of the Yushalmi happy. But we really, Paskins, when it comes to Amen, it's before the Chasima. When it comes to the bowing down at the end of Maidim Darabanan, it should be before the Chasima. Yeah, same idea. All right, let's go on in the Gemara. Yeah?
What's the point? Yeah.
Bar Nefashis also, where Maisha quotes that you should say Amen. I don't know, I've rarely had occasion to say Amen to someone else's Bar Nefashis. I was thinking about this. I don't know why. Maybe people kind of make it on the run. I don't know. For some reason, I don't remember this ever coming up. But if you have occasion to do so, you should make it before the Chasima.
Like because
it's really not a Takanas Chachamim. We have a Takanas Chachamim, and our Takanas Chachamim does not include this Baruch Hei Olamim. We do it just to make the Yushalmi happy. It's not really part of our Nusach. Yeah.
Why don't we answer Amen after Hagayim?
Why do we say their whole thing? Yeah, Hagayim Chayavim Tov, Shimon, and Kol Tov, and we say,
I
don't know. All right, okay, we'll have to look into it. I don't know.
We don't say Amen.
I don't know, yeah. Yeah, we say Amen. You say Amen, Amen. Yeah. All right, so let's go on to the Gemara. Back to the Gemara. So the Gemara quoted that Braisa that if you have a Maisa Kedera, you make a bracha before and a bracha after. What do you make if it's Bar Minei Mezonos? If it's wheat? If it's rice and millet, so then you don't, you make a shahakon and a burn of fashas. If it's made of chameshes mine dog, and you make a burn mine mezonis and an alam ichyo. So then the Gemara continues. Va'oire is lav maisa kedera hu? Is oire not the same as a maisa kedera? Va'tanyo. Elu hein maisa kedera. These are maisa kedera. And the Gemara goes on to list, five things. That are all involved chameshes minei dagon, chilka, targis, soilis, zaris, viaris, and these are all mixes that include one of the chameshes minei dagon. And then in that list, as a sixth item, the brisa includes iris, rice also. Rice is maisa kedera. So Gemara says, no, who is this? Hamani, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Oimer, Oirez min dogon hu. Oirez, rice is a kind of grain. There's actually six grains. You could have rice matzah on Pesach, and by the same token, rice is chametz on Pesach. He holds rice is machmetz, just like the other chametz mina dogon. The Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan hold is not one of the chametz mina dogon. We passing, of course, you cannot use rice for matzah on Pesach. It is not machmetz. It sounds like this is a dispute in Mitzios. Is rice machmetz? Is it not machmetz? In the times of Chazal, machmetz was like a scientific reality. You could test it. You could look at it. So Yushalmi asks, just look at it. Is rice machmetz? Is it not machmetz? Does it have the simanim of chametz or not? So Yushalmi said they did test it. They tested it, but they weren't able to tell what the results were. It was hard to tell. It was a close call. So because it was a close call, that's why we have a machlekes about it. For Rabbanan Loi, is that true? The Rabbanan really hold Erez and Doichen, you don't make a mezoinitz? For Rabbanan Loi, v'hatanya. Hakaisis is a chita, a person who chews raw grain. Mavarach alabari priyadamba. A person chews grain, like sometimes you see cowboys chewing on like a wheat stalk or something. So you make a bari priyadamba. Tachna afa ubishla, if you grind it, you bake it, and then you cook it, like a matzo ball type thing. Bismacha prusas kayamas, and this will be the next sugya, we'll have to talk about this, cooked bread items. But bismacha prusas kayamas, when the pieces are there, if the pieces are still present, you can see it, even though it's cooked, you still make hamoitzi lechem min haaretz. Think French toast. Ubesayv mevarech lei gimel brachas, at the end you bench. Im eina prusas kayamas, however, if the pieces are not present, like, there aren't big pieces there, think of matzo ball. Betchilo mevarech lei, bar minei mezoinos, ubesayv mevarech lei bracha achz mei inshallah. You make and alamichya. Hakaisa says, ha'ayrez, a person who chews raw rice, mevarech ala bari pri adama, takna afu bishloi, when you grind it, you bake it, and you cook it, aval pisha, prusas kayamas, even if there are big pieces there, mevarech ala bari minei mezonis, mevarech ala mein shalosh. At the end, you make a mein shalosh. So Mani, who is this brisa who said that by rice, when you grind it up into a flour, and then you cook it, bake it, and then cook it, you make an a mezainis and alamichya. Ilem Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. If you say it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds it hamaitzi. Damar oyres min dagenu hamaitzi lachem in haaretz v'shalosh brachas. You make hamaitzi and you bench according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It's mamish, one of the minei dagon. Elalav Rabbanan. He must be the Rabbanan, and yet the Rabbanan holds it's mezainis and alamichya. So the Gemara says tiyufta the Rav and Shmuel tiyufta. At this point in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel rejected that. Rav and Shmuel held you don't make a mezainis and oyres v'daychan. You see from here, everybody holds that you do make a mezainis on oyres v'daychan. That's the rejection of Rav and Shmuel. But just going back to one piece of that brisa, the brisa said hakoyisis is achita, a person who chews raw grain, so he makes a bari priyadama. If you grind it up, bake it into bread, and then cook it, then if the big piece is there, hamaitzi, no big pieces there, then it's mezainis. What about cooked grain? You didn't grind it up. The brisa here gives us a choice, you ground it up. What if you didn't grind it up, you just cooked it? So we had earlier grain dishes, witina, farina, that wasn't ground up into flour and then baked and cooked. It wasn't a bread item. It was a grain dish. You took the grain and you cooked it. So there's such a thing, you make a bar minei mezainis and alamichya. That's what's known as maisa kedera. Raw grain is hadama. So what about grain dishes that are not ground up into flour, then baked and cooked? They're kind of grainy, but they're not cooked either. Let's say, they're not like that maisa kedera. What's the difference between a raw grain, right, which is hadama, maisa kedera, which is mezoinis, and when it's ground into flour and then baked, it could be a hamaitzi, it could be a bread item. So Taisus over here writes that if you have grains that you cook that are not ground up, at the bottom of this long Taisus, Divrei Maaseh Kaseis, Taisus says if you have grains that are not ground up, four lines from the bottom, he says, Imloi nismachu yofa, to have a komodaisa, if it's not ground up, kind of like a floury type substance, then even if you cook it, it will remain bari pri adama. Rabbeinu Yoina adds that until it binds together into like one item, together, like into a witino, kind of an oatmeal-y type dish, where it binds together into one dish together. The grains are still separate. Even if you did grind it up kind of well, it won't be bar minei mezonos, so it will remain bar pri adama. It's only if it's ground up well and it binds together into one dish. The Rambam has his own definition. As we'll see, it all plays lemaisa. This comes up all the time. It comes up lemaisa. The Rambam also says a different definition. Again, Taisa says it has to be ground up well. Again, raw grain, hadama. If it's ground up and cooked into a dish, that's a ma'aseh kederes mezonos and alamich. If it's baked, it's a bread item, it could potentially be hamotzi. What if it's somewhere in between? It's not raw grain, it's cooked grain, but the grains are still kind of whole. They haven't been ground up into a, you know, into like a floury type substance. So Taisa says then it would remain bari pi adama even though it's cooked. The Rabbeinu Yoina would say until it binds together into one item, it would remain bari pi adama. The Rambam says, no, it's oisha chilkon, oisha kachon. In order to remove it from the category of bari pi adama, to move it to bari minei mezonos, it has to be that you cut the grain or that you smash the grain. What does it mean that you smash the grain if you didn't cut the grain? How is that different than cutting the grain? So the Magen Avraham says it means, we're going to review this in a second, the Magen Avraham says it means you peel the grain. And the Mishnah Berurah is not sure if it means that you peel the grain or you pulverize the grain. You didn't cut it, but you kind of, you know, you cut out part of the grain itself. So let's just, in order to understand what everyone's talking about, let's just understand something about the botany of grains. I don't know if you know anything about grains. Certainly not a farmer, but this is things that I've researched. So it's all secondhand knowledge. But the way grains grow is the following. In a stalk of grain, there is the flour at the top, which has a hull around it, which is kind of what we call the husk or the chaff. That's called a hull. That hull, which is kind of like the hay type, holds the kernel of grain. Around the kernel of grain is the bran. The bran. Which is kind of like a shell. There's multi-layers to that bran. That's the dark color around the grain. Inside the bran, which is kind of like a second shell, there's the hull, which is like that weedy, you know, that the hay, you know, straw type shell. Typically, they thresh to get it out of there. You get the kernel of grain. The whole kernel of grain has bran around it. Inside that is what's known as the endosperm. The endosperm is the flour that we're used to. That's white bread. Part of the endosperm also has the germ. The germ is the embryo that's there to form the next plant. So that's like a little part of the endosperm. So, okay, not complicated. Hull, we all know what that is. That's the chaff that you throw away. That was winnowed away. Yeah. Then you have the kernel of grain that has bran around the outside. Endosperm on the inside, part of the endosperm is germ, but it's really all the same thing. That's the meat and potatoes of the kernel of grain. That's what they use for white bread. White bread takes out the bran and takes out the germ, and all you have is the endosperm. The problem is that doesn't have all the nutrients of the grain. The nutrients of the grain are found in the bran and in the germ. So when the Rambam says, Oisha chukon, oisha kitchon, the Magen Avraham holds that means that you peeled away the bran. That's called pearling the wheat. Pearling the wheat means to peel away the bran, or milled wheat means that you pull away the bran. So what comes out l'maisa? What comes out l'maisa is like this. Everyone agrees to these principles. What comes out l'maisa is if you have whole grains that you cook, they used to make this roasted dish of grains, whole grains. You took grains from the wheat, you're a farmer, take it, you put it in a pan, you roast them. Or you cook them, but the grains are whole, or you bake them. The grains are whole, bari pi adama. But that's not a ma'isa kederet. It's not processed at all. That's cooked grain or raw grain would all be bari pi adama. Let's say I peel the grain. I take the grain and I peel it. What do I peel? I peel off the bran. The hull, for sure, that's gone. You can't eat that. It's not edible. That's the straw. Animals can eat it. Human beings can't. So you take off the bran. That's called mill grain or pearled grain. So that's a machlekes, what the story is with that, if you cook it. Why? Because Tosfos Rabbeinu Yoina held in order to be Maisa Kedera, to get Bari Minei Mezonos, has to be crushed, not just that you peeled it. The Rambam says, Shechilkon or Shekitshon, you cut it, or you pulverized it, you smashed it. So the Magen Avraham quoted one opinion, that means that you peeled the grain, you removed the bran. The other opinion is, no, that means you did something more significant. You didn't just peel the grain, you peeled the bran off, you did something to the endosperm as well, which is the inside of the kernel of grain. So that's a suffix in the Mishnah Berurah. What if you mill the grain or you pearl the grain and then you cook it? What's the status? So the suffix in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, though, says, because the Machlokes had to understand the Rambam between the Magen Avraham and the other Achrayim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if all you did was pearl the grain and none of the endosperm came off, it's Hadamah. If you pearl the grain and some of the endosperm came off also, that's processed. That's not just taking off the outer shell. That would be a bari minei mezonos. So therefore, the bracha on pearled barley. Anyone heard of pearled barley? That's the barley that you buy. Pearled barley, the bran around the barley, if you have the bran around the barley, it's called hulled barley. That doesn't last as long because the bran is there, but it also rots faster. So pearled barley can stay for much longer and it's preserved better. Pearled barley would be a bari minei mezonos. Why? Because when they pearl the barley, they take off part of the endosperm as well. So pearled barley, the bracha is bari minei mezonos. Yeah? If you have cooked whole grains, then it would be still Bari Pri Adama. And if all you did was remove the bran, it would be Bari Pri Adama. Rarely do you have that, because you're always going to remove part of the endosperm as well. So pearl barley, you can make a Bari Minei Mezonos. Yeah? But if you didn't take off part of the endosperm, it would be Bari Pri Adama. Or certainly, if it's whole, it would be Bari Pri Adama. So let's say kashi. Anyone like kashi? Kashi is whole grains that are puffed. So that bracha would be Bari Pri Adama, no doubt. What about puffed wheat? Puffed wheat, or golden crisp, if you like that. So Moshe has two tshuvas about puffed wheat and golden crisp. I don't know who made golden crisp in those days, probably Post, the same people make it today. What should be the bracha on that? So what is that? That is pearled grain, but it's not cooked. If it would be pearled grain, like pearled barley, and then cooked, it would be Bari Minei Mezonos. Here, it's puffed. It's puffed. So Moshe said, well, that's not cooked. It's puffed. So Moshe said, that's not necessarily processed in the same way. Maisa Kedera means a cooked wheat dish. Cooked is usually with water. This is puffed. Puffed was with either dry heat or maybe steam. So Moshe said that's not the typical way that you would cook something and process something, and therefore the bracha should be Bari Pri Adama. So Moshe ruled on the puffed wheat or golden crisp, it should be Bari Pri Adama. Rebbe Yashiv, that was the opinion of Shlomo Zalman as well. Puffed wheat, golden crisp, Bari Pri Adama. Rebbe Yashiv and Rabbi Heinemann of the Star K disagree. But that's the psak of the OU. Puffed wheat, Bari Pri Adama. However, and that was the opinion of Shlom Zalman too. However, and Rav Moshe. However, the Star K disagrees. Rabbi Heinemann, and I follow the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv, who disagreed, and he held, it doesn't have to be cooked. It means any way that you process it and make it edible, like a wheat dish. Why should a dafka be limited to cooking? It's true, that was the wheat dishes that they talked about in the time of the Gemara. Maisa Kedera was a cooked wheat dish where the wheat was somewhat processed and not whole grains. This is somewhat processed. So why should the method of cooking necessarily matter? So Rabbi Yashiv held, even if it's any kind of method of cooking, whether it's steam, or whether it's dry heat, it doesn't necessarily have to be cooked with any kind of a liquid. Even though Maisa Kedera was typically cooked grain, like the wheatina, farina, oatmeal type, here also, if it's cooked in any other way, it would also be Bari Minei Mezonos. So their opinion is golden crisp, it's Bari Minei Mezonos. So Rabbi Moshe concludes, you can make a Bari Minei Mezonos if you want, because the Chai Adam's view is, it's a fantastic view of the Chai Adam, that you can make Bari Minei Mezonos on anything that has, you know, calories or you know, not water and salt, but anything that has flavor or whatever, you know, I guess sustains at all. I guess would have to have some sort of caloric content to it. You can make a Bari Minei Mezonos. Mezonos means it's zun, it sustains. Anything that, you know, has a caloric, you know, part to it, sustains. So therefore, you can make Bari Minei Mezonos b'dievet on anything. So therefore, Amosha says, look, you can make Bari Minei Mezonos on this puffed wheat if you want to, but properly he thinks the bracha should actually be a Bari Pri Adama. The bigger issue, the bigger ticket item though, of course, is the granola bars. Why? Because granola bars are made out of rolled oats. What is rolled oats? Rolled oats is not pearled oats. Again, all grains grow with the same kind of format, but rolled oats they steam the grain and then they roll it out. Exactly as it sounds. It's with the bran, with the endosperm, with the germ all there. It's the whole grain, but it's rolled out. It's steamed in order to do that. And then they bake it. It's not cooked in water, it's baked. So it cracks in the process. That's oisha, you know, oisha shechotchan, oisha katchan. The Rambam said either you slice it or you peel it. Over here, you didn't peel it, but you sliced it, but then it has to be cooked. The problem with rolled oats that is it's used in granola is that it's not cooked. It's not cooked in water. It's baked, or they use steam. So because of that, granola is, again, the same kind of a machlekes. So the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman is granola is processed somewhat, but it's not cooked. And therefore, the bracha would be Bari Pri Adama. That should have been the standard approach. That's the approach of the OU, that granola is Bari Pri Adama. Again, Rebbe Yashiv disagrees, and he holds it doesn't matter what kind of processing you use. Why should it matter that you cooked it in water? You cooked it in any other kind of way. It could also be a Bari Minei Mezonos. You took grains, you processed it somewhat and made it edible. And over here, by granola bars in particular, you bound it together into one item. That's kind of like the oatmeal-y type, wheatina type deal. So therefore, he holds it. That's kind of a together item that looks together like a Maisa Kedera, even though it wasn't cooked in water, cooked through other ways. So that should have been Bari Minei Mezonos. The response to that is, it's not really together. Granola bars are not really together. They crumble. If you put it in your bag and you take it out at the end of the day, you'll be left with granola pieces. You won't be left with the granola bar. And maybe there's a difference between the Quaker Oats and the Nature Valleys in Yeshiva, the very busy talking about the distinctions between them. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I don't think there is. I think the proper bracha on these items is bar pri adama. That's the classic. That's following the rules of the Gemara. The burden of proof is on the ones who want to say it's mezainis. They would have to argue that it doesn't matter how you process it. It is somewhat cut up the grain. It's not whole. It's rolled. So it's kind of like being cut. And even though it's not cooked, it is kind of prepared in a different way. It's processed a different way. And therefore, it might be bar pri adama.
Huh? That's whether it comes in breakfast cereal format or whether
variety
in the granola
format. Again, you kind of have to look at the ingredients to make sure. Some of them have a lot of wheat flour. I think the rolled oats, or the whole oats they call it, is the ikar. That's the ikar of granola, even if it's not the majority. It certainly is the ikar. But that sometimes might not be the case. So generally speaking, it will be. So let's say, for this reason, if you put granola, or there used to be a Yo Crunch that had granola that you put on top. Yeah. So that would be a topping. There's bar pri adama, and therefore wouldn't be the ikar, and it would be a tuffel to the yogurt, because the yogurt is probably the ikar, I don't think. Unless, and therefore it would just be shako. Yeah. Yeah. You could, again, if they're separate, make two brachas. So you can make a bar pri adama on the oats, and then a shako on the yogurt. Huh? Yeah, what about? That's different. That's nuts. That's not rolled oats. Granola is rolled oats. Granola is whole grain. You can look at it. You'll see the whole grain. But one second. But the instant oatmeal, that's also rolled oats. But that's somewhat cut, and it's cooked in water. The minute that it's cooked in water, even though it's cooked in a cliche, that's called cooked in water. So that the oatmeal will always be mezainis. The rolled oat, the granola bars is where you have to shiloh.
There's no, according to OU,
Tadama. You can make the argument. No, it's processed or prepared in a different way. True, in the times of the Gemara, Maisa Kedera was cooking in water. You cut up the grain a little bit. You didn't make it into flour and bake it. That's bread. It's not raw grain. That's certainly hadama. It's processed somewhat, but it's not cooked in water. And the Maisa Kedera of the Gemara was cooked in water. But it's cooked in some other way. So everybody else said, what difference does it make? Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe, OU, a little bit more traditional. And that, no, it has to be cooked in water in order to be called a Maisa Kedera. I think there's a logic to that. And I don't even think the granola bars are two together. I think that they're very flimsy. The connection is tenuous at best. I think it should be a bar pri adama.
Brown rice process.